See you. Let's go to the word this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of the word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, our sins, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. We're looking at a very interesting, so this month is a busy month, is that correct? Busy month. We have our Navigating Your Bible, where we're going to have a daily teaching for a full week, right? Then we're going to be having another interesting month. We're starting an interesting series that will last for 8 weeks. The marriage and what? The marriage and family table. Amen? The marriage and family table. So we're going to be having that every Friday from 7:30 this Friday for another 8 weeks. Trusting God that we'll be able to go through certain, you know, conversations that we need to go through. So this month, we'll be looking at the love walk. We're supposed to look at a different series this month, but, you know, just based on what I think I want us to flow into as a local church, we'll just focus on the love walk, probably this month into the month after, right? Maybe the love of God next month, but let's see how that goes, right? So one of the things that I want you to pay attention to is in all the things that we say today and the things that we say this week, and the things that we say this month and next month as well, one of the things you should do is to pay attention to yourself. Say, I pay attention to myself. So don't pay attention to what? To another, to what? And don't say, pastor is talking to another person. Don't say, this is what, this is the person that needs to be here. Don't say, I wish that my friend can hear this message. No, it's about you. Our together. Say, it's about me. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Let's start from there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Someone who just got healed of a very, very recurring sickness, illness, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Yeah. This seems to be coming. Just receive that now. Yeah. Seems to be very recurring. It stops today in the name of Jesus. Someone as well, right? This was very interesting. There's someone as well. You've been having a urination problem, right? You're having a urination problem. The power of God is at work in you right now. In the name of Jesus. And every pain ceases. In the name of Jesus. Every pain ceases. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Look at Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And, is that your Bible? And what? Walk in love, as Christ also hath what? Loved us. And at what? Giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet smelling savour. Be ye therefore followers of God. Now, one of the things you will see across scripture is the fact that the concept of love walk or walking in love is not a stray verse that Paul just talks in some of his letters. It's not something that Paul just thought he wanted to use to fill up his pages or pages of his letter, you know. And the reason why this topic is very important is the fact that many times you'll find out that the concept of love walk is the most important factor or criteria that keeps a relationship going, regardless of the relationship. Right? And if one person in a relationship, now it takes two to make it work, definitely. But in any relationship, male, 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 female, female, male, but married relationship, siblings relationship, if one person decides that they will make it work or they will want to make it work to a very large extent, it will work. Are we together? Ideally, it should be two parties, both parties deciding to make it work. But you see, one of the things you realize about life is the fact that you cannot always determine
what the actions or inactions of another person will be. At least you can determine yours. Is that correct? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. I cannot determine what you would do to me if I hit you. But I can determine my hitting you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You can't determine what I will do if you hit me. But I can determine what I will do when you hit me. Are you with me? Right? So a lot of times, many people always try to deflect, right, and push responsibilities to the second party. But the concept about love work, as it were, prioritizes you in that work. Are we here? Right? What I mean prioritizes you, I mean prioritizes your actions, perhaps your inactions. Right? It prioritizes you particularly. You particularly. So Paul says, be therefore followers of God as what? Dear children. As dear children. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Who's a child? Right? Now, if you look through the concept of the word children, sonship, and the epistles of the like, one of the things you'll find out is that the concept of sonship has more to do with, you know, being an offspring, right, or being one who has a link or a relationship with the source. So source, for instance, will come from the concept of father source, as it were, right? So a son or a child of God will be somebody who has a DNA of another. And we're together. So Paul knows what he's saying when he says, be therefore followers of God. Now, he doesn't just end as followers of God. Because a man can have different kinds of followers. Altogether. There's a way a child follows his father. Think about it this way. There's a way a child will follow their father, who is their pastor. And there's a way a member will follow their father, their pastor, who is not their biological father. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? Yeah, there's a way Naomi will follow me as she keeps growing. And there's a way each and every one of you will follow me as your pastors. As a pastor, right? So I am her father, I am a pastor, but the fact remains that the relationship between both parties are not the same. So Paul is trying to point your attention to something very important, making it very clear that he is asking for that concept of followership because of the relationship father and child. So be therefore followers of God as their children. So the theme of following God as their children or walking in love is not something that just comes out from, you know, one of the topics they want to use to fill up their scriptures. No, it's a theme that refuses to leave scriptures alone. It's everywhere around scriptures. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look at verse 4. Now, you look through scriptures and find out that the first, you know, writer of scriptures, the first originator of scriptures is Moses. Now, look at one of his books. He wrote Deuteronomy chapter 4, which was 6, verse 4. So, Moses says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. Now, let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Might. All right, together. Thou shalt love. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Right? Can we say, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children so they can be followers of God? Is that correct? Yeah. Because what Moses is teaching is about a love for God. So he's saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And he's saying, these things I'm teaching you is what you teach your children. What is he teaching? Right? That what I'm teaching you as a practice in following God is what you teach your children as a practice in following God. Right? So Moses says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. This one, look at Leviticus chapter 19. Just a book before that. Two books before that, rather. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. So, look at verse 18. Thou shalt, look at verse 17. Verse 17. He says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So you see that instruction in Leviticus, see that instruction in Deuteronomy. Now look at Jesus. He didn't soften it. Look at Jesus in Matthew. Go to Matthew 22. I'm going to play a lot around Matthew 22 in this series, Matthew 22. Matthew 22. And look at verse 37. Verse 36. You must understand where the conversation is coming from. First, verse 36. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, let's read together, verse 37, 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Hold on. Jesus is quoting from where? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Good. All right. Yeah. Look at it again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Did you remember when I said mind? Instead of what did we see there? Might. You get that right? Yeah. So that's how I was quoting from what, you know, Matthew said. Now look at verse 38. It says, this is the first and great commandment. What did they ask him? Which is the great commandment? He says, this is the first and great. They asked about the great. He said, this is the first and great. Look at verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Where is Jesus quoting from? Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. So Jesus, in answering their question, will take them to Leviticus and Deuteronomy to teach about loving thy neighbor. So it means the concept of God wanting men to love thy neighbor or love their neighbors did not start with Jesus' ministry. Are we together? Jesus went to Deuteronomy to Leviticus to teach the concept of loving thy neighbor. Right? Look at Mark. Mark 12 says something similar as well. You know, just re-echoed it again. Mark 12, verse 28. Mark 12, 28. It says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What did Matthew say? Which is the greatest? Is that correct? Commandment. What is Mark showing you that they are asking? Which is the first commandment? Mark 12, verse 28. It says, Jesus said unto him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Lord, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? Is that Deuteronomy? And thou, verse 30, shall love thy neighbor with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is what? The first. He now says, and the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at what he says there. There is no other commandment that is greater than this. So Jesus is saying that if you want to summarize the commandment in the pages of the prophets, in the pages of Moses, in the pages of the Psalm, the summary of all they are saying is what? Love thy neighbor. Together. The summary of what they are teaching is what? Love thy neighbor. So they came to me, Jesus, and said, Lord Jesus, we've read through the scriptures, we've read through the pages of scriptures. There are many instructions and commandments. From your point of view, which one is the greatest? Which one is the one that say, if you obey this one, you've obeyed everything? It's what? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself with all thy might, with all thy mind, with all thy heart. So you see across scriptures, Leviticus, Moses, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, right? You see Matthew, you see Mark, re-echoing the same thing. So it means that the whole Christian life is displayed in the movie of love walk. Altogether, your entire Christian faith is displayed, right, in the movie of Love War. So if we were to name a do a movie of how a Christian life should be, the theme of that movie is what? Love War. The expectation that Jesus and God has is what? Love War. Now, so before we get into what is expected of us, let us pay attention to what has been given to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Because one of the things you realize is that identity comes before instruction when you look at how the scriptures is written. Scriptures are written. Identity comes before we venture into instructions. So look at Ephesians chapter 1. Now go all the way with me to verse 13. Why did we start our teaching today? 5, right? So before Ephesians 5, there's chapter 4, there's chapter 3, there's chapter 2, there's chapter 1. So go back to chapter 1. Verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It says, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So before Paul tells them in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as their children, he has told them that they were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So he spends an entire chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. Go back to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed. You know, people read those words in two different tones. How do you read it again? Blessed. How do you say it? Blessed. No. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, those two words actually are the same in the Greek. Now, I've said over time that when you look through the Greek manuscripts, right, the word blessed was never used to talk about material things. So there's a song we usually sing when we're growing. I am a blessed child. Do you sing that when you're growing up? Or you didn't sing that? Okay. You're singing my name. Who knows this one? You know this one? My name. Dun 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 dun. My name is Uche. Dun 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 dun. You can know the kind of schools you went to. But blessed be God. Who makes the church the leveler? All right? So the song, I'm a blessed child. God makes me. Jesus made me a blessed child. I am blessed. You know, the concept of the blessedness we speak about when we sing that song should be relating to the blessedness of God's Spirit in our heart. So it means both the poor and the rich. Nowadays, the only people who think that they can use the word blessed in the church is people who have houses, who have. In fact, and it's okay, we've used that word blessed into our daily activity and mixed it. Say, last week, God blessed me with a house. Last week, God blessed me with the kind, and that's fair, that's fine. That, you know, over time, you must understand that, you know, scriptural words a lot of times have been taken to mean several things, and it's okay for our day-to-day communication. But as a theologian, as a believer, as a student of God's word, you must go back to the root use of words to find out what were these words used for. So never would you ever say the word blessed, and what you are talking about in that confined is actually used to speak about somebody who got a promotion. So a believer can wake up every morning and brag and say, I'm a blessed child of God. Is that correct? Yeah, but the blessedness there has nothing to do with whether you were promoted or demoted. So when you are promoted, you are a blessed what?
Child.
Demoted?
Blessed child.
When a believer grows up their career ladder, what happens? They're blessed. When they stay at that ladder, what happens? They're blessed. Because the blessedness of a believer is linked to the workings of the Spirit in our hearts. So when Paul says, blessed be our Father and God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Savior, or Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all what? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Look at the word there, spiritual. That word there, spiritual, qualifies the type of blessing that has been spoken about. The moment you say spiritual blessings, it means that what your eyes should look at when you talk of blessings is about what? Things of the Spirit, or things spiritual. It means that no man who is not a believer can brag about that. Blessed be our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all blessings. No, that's not what he said. With all spiritual blessings. So the blessings are linked or are related to the Spirit of God in the believer. So when we say you are a blessed child, when we say you are a blessed child of God, we are saying there is something about the Spirit that has made you blessed. So Paul is saying, blessed be our God and Father. That word there, and the word there, you know, we have two Greek words for the word there, you know, blessed, is the word makarios and eulogy. Makarios is M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, and eulogy is E-U-L-O-G-Y. Eulogy just really means you are speaking well. We have the word eulogize, right? You are speaking well, right? So Paul is saying, we speak well of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well. What did he say? Look at verse 4. According as he had what? Chosen us. So he chose us when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. You see, many times, you know, and you know, as a church, what we believe is the fact that when God gets into the life of a man, God cannot lose a man that he holds on to. Think about, you know, there are lots of things and noise that's going all around, you know, and you know, one of the things as a good local church, we're not meant to be having reactional theology. You know, our stand, for instance, when it comes to the concept of salvation, right? We don't believe as a church that a man can lose his salvation. We don't believe as a church that God can give up. You know, if you see some of those people who are always running around salvation, say, okay, ask them, who do you know that has lost salvation? Who do you know? Do you understand? Because they cannot confirm. Is that not correct? You can assume based on people's conduct. But how do we confirm you are correct? Yeah? So if Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessings, he says he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Hold on. If God has chosen us before the foundation of the world, it means that there is nothing. The moment you step into his will, somebody says, but man has a free will. You know, sometimes we just overamplify some things that don't even... Was it your will that made it to be born? That will that is so strong is the one that made it to be a man. Are you with me? Can you will yourself back from death? You have a strong will now. Yeah? Can you will yourself? Did you will yourself to choose your gender? You must understand that the truth is that, you know, it's so interesting to think about a God who ideally, right? You say he's a God that can do anything he likes. We trust in the sovereignty of our God. Is that not correct? So God can do anything he likes. Is that not correct? Why don't we think that he can choose to keep a man saved forever? He can do anything he likes now. Why do we think that we are trying to explain for him what he can do and what he cannot do? Are you with me? Right? God can do it. You see, all parties that have different arguments agree that God can do, including God can kill, like some will say. Okay, what makes you think that, okay, if he can, why don't you think he can actually keep a man's salvation? Are you with me here? Right. The question now becomes, at what point will a man who was saved that had the Spirit of God in their heart, at what point does the Spirit leave? So is God so unstable that the Spirit of God leaves and comes and leaves? So an average person who falls into sin and falls into so many things actually loses the Spirit of God and gets the Spirit of God back. This is why we are speaking well of a God who has spoken well. Think about it. How can God speak well of me? And because of what I do, he starts speaking well of me. Are we together? Are we here? Yes, how can God, who has spoken well of me, right? And he will now, mind you, he didn't speak well of you because of what you did. Listen to me carefully. He didn't speak well of you because of what you did. He spoke well of you because of who he is. So he spoke well of you because of who he is when he, in Romans 5, we let you see, that whilst we are what? Yet sinners. So Christ saw us in our mess. Are we together? And decided to speak well of you. Does he have amnesia? So how did God forget that he met you in your mess? So it means that when God meets a man in his mess, he gives allowance for what? For messes. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because he knows. Think about it. Oh, my gracious Father. Think about this. How can you love a person? The person does not even love themselves enough. You love them so well that you saw them in their dirty state. And you gave them your best jacket. Think about it. Okay, can you wear a white jacket for a pig? Think about it. Why should you wear a white jacket for a pig and be upset that the pig got the jacket dirty? Anything? So when you see a pig, and you dress, you know, in this part of the world, I saw a dog wearing suits the other day. Suit that I've not seen before with my eyes. I saw a dog wearing suit that was just jumping up and down. You've eaten well. what their challenges are. Right? But you buy a suit for a pig and you are surprised. Do you think that someone in your mind, you've prepared? How many of you dress for your children every morning and not get prepared that they will get their clothes dirty? Are you with me? You know, when you grow older, the more you keep growing older and, you know, you are trying to manage your clothes, when you finish wearing your clothes, you go and air it, you put it outside. Right? You don't do that for your children. Is correct? Because you are making allowance. So we can do that for children, for pigs, but God cannot do it for us. Think about it. So God saw on your... He told God I wanted to come out of my dirtiness. So God saw me, apart from the fact that I believed. And, you know, believe does not even literally mean that you believe genuinely. Because sometimes it can just be the message that is emotional. And you just choose to just... People are going out and let me just... That's why I see some people. Why do you realize that many Christians come out for altar call every service that is emotional? It meant that the first time that they came out, what did they really believe? So when God chooses his own, right? He's so patient enough. Now, do you know why I'm teaching you this way? It is because when Paul says, be therefore followers of Christ, all together, as dear children. If you don't understand the template in front of you, it will be difficult to live up to that expectation. Are you with me? He spoke to somebody a while ago. I was saying, no, you cannot talk about it. God used to kill. God can kill anybody. God can wake up and kill. Okay, I agree with you. We both agree that God can do anything. I agree that in his anything, he makes a life. He gives life. You agree, he kills. Now, the question is, to what end is your teaching? Do you understand? So who is that message for? Okay, before you go to who is that message for, who do you know that God has killed? So if a family relative passes or dies in your house, your grandfather or somebody, a cousin or someone dies, and they tell you that it was God that took his life. Okay, no. That's far. Your child. Do you understand? Your child, you know, when your children are growing up, you can't control the inactions and actions they will do. It means your child can commit a very terrible blunder. At what point does God get upset to kill the child? Okay, will you agree if I told you that your child just went to school, you know, as I was sitting down, he just closed his eyes and he don't wake up again? I will come for funeral and we say, God took him. How would you feel? Well, I hope you know that you will most likely get into a knowledge of how God is a wicked God. Because in your mind, you'll be like, but this child cannot even, they don't even know they are left from their right. And that is why, because of that mindset, people feel like there are certain things people do to them that is beyond forgiveness. Because there are certain things people do to God that is what? Beyond forgiveness. So if there are certain things that a man can do to God, do you actually understand that God from the beginning had a plan to save man? So God, look at it. God could have continued living this life or this world without a human being. Is that not correct? Yes, we all agree that God pre existed before us. They did not know. Look at it. He didn't need to go past the first generation. We saw what Adam and Eve did. I tell me God did not know. So God knew from time the frailty of human beings. So to begin to say that there's a level of forgiveness that God does not forgive or cannot forgive will also mean I should have in my diary a level of forgiveness that I cannot forgive. The big question now becomes, who puts the gauge? Because for you now, it can be that when someone lies to you, you are upset, you don't forgive. Somebody now say, their own is that if you break my heart, I will not forgive. Someone now say that if you slap me, so at the end, at the real sense, who will forgive who? You see, Paul knew what he was doing before he got to chapter 5 when he says, be therefore followers of God. Because he's trying to say to you that regardless of where man was, see what God, see how far God went just to meet man. He says that is the template. Be ye therefore followers. The word there, follower, I'll tell you the word there, follower in the Greek. The word there, follower, is the word that means to mimic. Are we together? To imitate. Oh, yeah. The word there, it means to mimic. It means to imitate. It means to copy. How many of you know what they call copycats? Yeah. I heard of a guy who copied, you know, the assignment of somebody and copied the person's name and matric number. You copy somebody's assignment to the point that you copy the person's name and matric number. Yeah? But do you know that in the real sense, that is what God expects of the believer? You are a copycat. You are a copycat. Say, I'm a copycat. Who am I copycatting? Jesus. So if your understanding of who Jesus is wrong, what you will copy will be wrong. That is why you have to first see him the way he is, so you can know what to copy. Why should God, or how can God, or why should God be able to kill? And because of his sovereignty, Paul now says, I wish Paul put that statement and put a comma there. And he said, be therefore followers of God to the extent at which you are human. Are you with me? But he didn't say that. He says, be therefore followers of God. So, think about it. Have you not seen a father? You know, children do what they see, not what they hear.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So, you know, it will not make sense to the heart of a man or a child who sees his father smoking and tells the child not to smoke. All together? Because the question is, why should you smoke and ask me to follow you without smoking? Same one. So if you are firm, if you have a twisted understanding of God's character, it will influence how you relate with people. You know, I was in a meeting yesterday with Pastor and he was saying something about how, I hope you know that when you talk about how we love God with all our hearts, God doesn't need it. You know, I sat down after the meeting and I pondered on that. Do you know something to say? I love you forever. I love you forever. Beautiful song. But God doesn't need it. Because he knows you don't mean it as much as you say it. You don't agree? You don't mean it as much as you say it. Yeah? So, what does God expect you to point your attention of I love you forever to? Another person. I love you forever. They've not put gun on your neck. We're together. They've not put knife that you are feeling the cold knife. They say denounce Jesus. But guess what? Jesus, on the other hand, put himself on the line in front of flogging, in front of nailing, in front of all manners of things. He felt the texture of the nail. He felt the texture of the pain and yet stayed there for your sake. You see that kind of love, eh? It's not a love that you, it's not... And from where I come from, say it's cho-cho-cho. Yeah? It's not a love that you just talk with mouth. So when Paul says, you've been chosen, look at verse 3. He says, verse 4, rather, according to, as he had chosen us in him before the what? The foundation of the world, that we should be and without blame before him in love. Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Having predestinated us, Ephesians 1, 5, 1, 2, 3, go. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted. So who are we? We are accepted where? In the beloved. To say that a man can lose his salvation means that there's a time that God rejects man. Altogether. The people who believe that salvation can be lost, they don't believe they can lose their salvation. Believe me. No, they don't believe. No, now. You know, it's because you believe that's why you're fighting it. You are just a lawful policeman looking for how to make yourself feel like a great man. All of us here, you know who you are when there is no camera. Or you don't know yourself. You don't know who you are. Everybody knows where they are praying, God help me. Is it evangelism? Is it outreach? Is it forgiveness? Right? The main question is what determines where God's overwhelming love ends. Or when God's love starts being overwhelming. All of us, he just mercy you. All of us, we've obtained favor and mercy. Yeah? Is that not correct? All of us, we've what? Obtained. Glad he laughs at Abukola. Yeah? We've obtained what? Favor and mercy. That is what is keeping us home. Is the mercies and the grace of God that is keeping all of us. Are we together? You know, a man can actually be committing adultery and teach against adultery. I hope you know that a man is suffering from adultery or is battling adultery does not disqualify him from talking about how adultery is wrong from scriptures. Are you with me? Are you here? That a man is struggling with lying does not mean you excommunicate the instructions against lying from scriptures. So take that perspective and look at every pastor. But those that believe salvation is long, salvation is short, or is medium range. All of us have something. To say that God is not strong enough to keep us is to teach that you are a perfect holy man. It's to teach a perfection we know we don't have. Like they say, from the part of the world where I come from, is the person that the cat that is the thief. Oh, you got it right. Is the person that is caught that is the thief. Let all of us just be escaping. Amen. Okay, you don't want to keep escaping. I want to keep escaping, though. Let all of us just be escaping. What is wrong in trusting that God can do whatever do we agree that God can do anything he wants to do? So why can't we agree that God can decide to keep us safe? Particularly the fact that it is written across scriptures. The Bible says he has put in us a seal, the seal of promise, the seal of his spirit. So what is the meaning of the seal? So when the seal has been injected into your heart, so every time you are now misbehaving, what happens? You are removing the seal. You are sealing it. You are removing the super glue. You know, it's just that we just try. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Wait. Is there any other word that I miss in that verse? Shall not perish but have everlasting life. Does the Bible say shall not perish if they keep believing? Some people want to be very smarter than the smartness. They say, I believe salvation is eternal as long as you keep believing. What are you saying? Eh? I believe salvation is eternal, but I believe that the one that has eternal salvation is the one that keeps believing. Keeps believing. It means we've not got to a point where we've understood that what happens at the new birth is a regeneration of a new spirit. We've not gotten to the point. So we still think that there is, some people think, I think the reason why they think that way is because they think that when a man gets saved,
what happens is updated OS. So, you know, updated OS can be downgraded. I was in Emma Plaza one day at that time. I don't know who was telling me, right, that somebody went to go and upgrade their iPhone or something. When they now say they've upgraded the iPhone, they say you can no longer do this. They say, please downgrade this. please downgrade it. I'm not doing it again. What is the mindset we have about our Christian faith? That in order to come born again, what happens? There's an upgraded OS. So you are now 17.10. Then if you mess up, what happens? 16.8. If you mess up again, no, that's not how it works. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, everlasting life was never something that does not mean everlasting life. There's also the part of people that say the difference between, have you heard this interesting narrative? I heard someone say the other time, say there's a difference between eternal life and everlasting life. Come again? You've heard it before, right? Yeah? There's a difference. And you know, people that say these things talk with a lot of emotions. And that's why God is just helping all of us. Because if God were to just judge some of us by what we preach, I don't know how many of us will still be preaching today. Maybe there are some things I've even said in the old past too, that God will just say, take it. Right? We believe. And majority of the people who believe that salvation can be lost, at one point of their Christian faith, they struggled with sin. At that point of their Christian faith, they are struggling with sin that we've not seen. At one point in their Christian faith, they struggle with Bible interpretation. Have they not grown knowledge? Yeah, so you say, there's a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. Sometimes before we say some things, let's just pause. Yeah, everlasting life and eternal life. I don't think if we tell a child that, it will even make sense. There's a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. Come, let's reason together. Come. There's a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. Like, what made you get to that conclusion? And the only thing you are trying to prove is just that God... Wait. Does the devil kill?
Yes.
Does the devil kill? Does the devil kill? Does God kill? Just say yes. Okay. Does God kill? Beautiful. So, why are we fighting against the devil when God and the devil are the same? Devil and God do the same thing. God is just the CEO. Yeah? He's just the founder. Then he gave CEO division to the devil. Excuse me. Okay. The thief comes, people have explained that previous scripture. The thief comes, okay, it is the Pharisee, it is this one. Okay. So when you now say that God is the one that he can just wake up and kill, why has he not killed you? What do you think you've done that has made you escape it? You are proud, though. Who do you think you are that has made you escape it? You are in your 30s. Okay. They've obtained favor and mercy. They've obtained favor and mercy. All of us. You see, it's sweet to say until it comes close to home. I hope you know, if they tell you a plane crash, you say, oh. If they tell you your cousin was in that plane, how you will respond is different. All of us are selfish. We are all selfish. Oh, really? Oh, let God be keeping us. Until they hear that one person, your pilot was on shift that day. She was an air hostess. How you will take it is different. So if you are fighting about God is the one that kills, so if God and devil kill, it means you can collect like terms of both of them. So in the real, to what end? They now say, hold on, they say killing of God is good. Okay, it's only the enemies that God used to. Okay, when God kills is Justice League. But when the enemy kills, so hold on. Predicament. He has infected his wife. The disease is in the blood now. Okay, so if
If somebody, you all don't know, listen to just this simple logic. If somebody dies right now, when we go there, the first thing we need to do is discern who killed.
Are you with me?
Before you say, in the name of Jesus, you must ask, is it that Jesus that killed? Are you with me? So why should we be asked to go and raise the dead? You know, the thing used to punch on my head. When I would see some grammar people talk, it used to irritate me. So when you go to a place, so imagine Jesus went to Peter's mother's in-law. Right? Or Dorcas, right? Or Lazarus. So if we have a brother Lazarus in your neighborhood, when they say that's where the house is, what do? You first go there, you first speak, Lord. Who's at work here? Who is at work? Are you with me? The exception of the kind of dead we cannot raise back. You see, it does not make sense. So, in whose power are you to raise the dead? By God's power. So, how will you raise the dead by God's power that God killed by his power? Are you with me? And that's where those, you know, some people, God can kill them and God can still want to give them 50 extra years until they say it's your turn. If you get to a room and he said, so if you go to the hospital, you know, the people who say that God is putting them through challenges, through the sicknesses they are going through. I remember someone told me that a few years ago, a lady in school there, said, God told me personally, I heard his voice clearly, that he's going to put me through a season of turmoil. Right, and that this sickness is for him. So I now ask her, so why do you come to me to pray? No, now God gave you sickness. I should pray for what? To beg him. So that he took a look at me. So he took a look at me and transferred it to me. What? You face your journey, face your turmoil. Face your turmoil yourself. Leave me out of it. When you see the work of the devil, call it the work of the devil. The devil is trying to make our mind. That's why you realize many times when you start teaching all these kind of things, your trust and belief in supernatural can dwindle a little. Because if you believe that God can make you go through cancerous, do you know what it means to have cancer? I was talking to somebody who was even saying that to me. Someone was saying, and cancer, that you know, cancer can be, you know, cancer is different, but there's something called pancreatic. Pancreatic cancer, that one is a very high dose. So, both low level cancer, high level cancer, we are asked to cast out demons. Very soon, people will believe that God gives people demons. You just see a madman on the road, that's what God is walking in and in through him. I hope you're making sense of what I'm trying to say. Point. If somebody calls me and says, Pastor, please, we need your prayer right now. The first thing before I should ask is, look, give me a second, let me inquire of God. God, is your hand there? Mind you, people who teach that God kills, if it's their children, they don't want us to inquire. Excuse me. Abi, who do you know your child passed? You want to also inquire if it's God or the devil. But you just believe for one reason. And that's why you hear some people saying, yeah, oh, right. The God of Elijah that answered by fire. Many times you realize that we amplify the lustfulness of our heart and the wickedness of our heart and wrap it around the actions of God. Are you with me? Wrap it. So why are we asked to wait? Did God ask us to preach the gospel? Is not the unsaved? Is there a kicker of unsavedness? All cadres of unsaidness is unsaved. You are not partially saved. Do you understand? There's no level one of people who are saved. Ah, your own sin. Ah, body count 100. Ah, no. We're not the same now. Does that make sense? Body count. Your body count is 5. Your body count is 11. Your body count is 100. So the one that is now 5, is not saying, thank God it's no more than 5. Are you with me? Right? Or somebody lied. You say, thank God the lie did not allow anybody to die. We are asked, the Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Are we together? Preach the gospel to who? The people who are not saved. So at what point should it make sense that we are to preach the gospel to the unsaved, but there's a level of unsaveness that God needs to just terminate?
Oh, he chases me down, fries till I'm fine, is the 99. I don't deserve it.
You see, it's selfishness. So God can chase you and leave 99. Do you understand? He can chase you and you are crying. But somewhere in your mind, you just feel like there's somebody who is beyond the reach of God. Do you understand? So, because for you to say there's a man who God would not rather he saved, it means that the sin that he has committed is far beyond the reach of God. That means God tried his best to save him, but what? And mind you, there are people like that as well who, in the real sense, and the only time you lose the opportunity to be able to receive of God's love is when you are no longer in, when you are out of breath. You see, why am I using this teaching for this? It is so that you can understand what the expectation is when Paul says, be ye therefore followers. Be ye therefore followers. You need to understand what you are following. Many times, the reason why we struggle to forgive is because we somehow rate ourselves as our sin level is not the same. I've not read through my scriptures to realize that there are different cadres of sin. How many of you have read your Bible and, you know, they've categorized sin as category one? All together. Right? So many times you find out that there are many nuances in scriptures that in the real sense requires a proper explanation. That's why you know some of the things I say in church, you never hear it online. Is that not correct? You will never see a post on, you never see a video, because the answer, right, to a interesting concept in doctrine, God's plan is that it should be corrected from the local church. Yeah, you have never been in a debate in my life. Online, never. Do you remember somebody did one very long post on our post a few weeks ago? You remember, I didn't even remember what the person said. Just replace, what did I do? I didn't even delete, let it be there. Because when it's there, nobody responds, it's more painful. It's love work. Next time you face your walk, next time you are walking, it is because you don't have time. That's why you are responding. Okay, bring your the guy wrote paragraph. I didn't hide it. I'm sure that person will be coming back to check what would this church reply me? Nobody has that energy. I am accountable to each and every one of you. I'm accountable within the local church. That does not mean that we don't defend the faith when it's needed. But sometimes what they call defending the faith is just trying to rub our ego. We're trying to fight our egos. Because I rarely seen when two strong arguments happen on a Facebook post or an Instagram post that one person punches. Just the confusion is reached. Are you with me? I'm not saying it doesn't exist though. But I've not seen where two people argue on different slants of doctrine on social media, right? And one person say, you cut me. What will happen eventually? So, you know, some people, even if they've been caught, they will still argue their nonsense. They will still keep arguing. So what's the point? Are we together? You believe what your heart believes. It will help you in your relationship with man. So Paul says, you've been chosen. You've been made acceptable. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to what? The number of mercies you ask for. Is that your Bible? According to what? The riches. So forgiveness of sin is not according to the number of times you ask for mercy. It's according to his riches, the riches of his grace. Wherein he had what? Abounded towards us in what? In all what? Wisdom and prudence. Let's read verse 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Let's read verse 11 together. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being what? Predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the what? The praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom he also trusted. After that, he what? He heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed you were what? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So he says you're already his own. All together. Say, I'm his. So what does it mean to be chosen? It means your place in God's family was never an afterthought stitched. Your place in God's family was never an afterthought. That was probably stitched on after the world went wrong. No. God knew ahead of time before the creation of the first human. So your chosen means that before the foundation of the world, your place in his family was never an afterthought stitched on after the world went wrong. So it means it was decided before there was a world to even go wrong in. What does it mean to be adopted? Adopted means you were brought in deliberately. What does it mean to be accepted in the beloved? It means God doesn't evaluate you on your individual merits. God doesn't evaluate you on your own individual merits. He evaluates you as one who is found in Christ. We've looked at redeemed severally. It means a price was paid to bring you out of the condition that you could not have brought yourself out. I'll say it again. A price was paid to bring you out of the condition that you could not have brought yourself out. To be sealed there means the transaction is not pending. It is guaranteed. It is stamped. It is closed. The transaction is not pending. It is guaranteed. See, all of these things we've spoken about is to show the extent of God's love for you. So it means that the love of God is not scarce. Amen? The love of God in you is not scarce. So because it is not scarce, that is why the expectation exists. So if you are told to love your neighbor as yourself, you are not asked to love your neighbor from a place of scarcity. You are asked to love your neighbor from a place of what? Abundance. Together. Think about two brothers of the same father. And one of them, the firstborn, is always trying to work his way towards, you know, getting favor with the father, getting, you know, gifts from the father. And the second one is not trying to do anything. But the father is always giving gifts, always giving him favor. What's the difference? You see, both of them will not live a life of freedom in the house. Because one is thinking that depending on his actions and inactions, that will determine the extent of what he gets. And the other one is what? Enjoying his life, because he knows that regardless of his actions or inactions, he will get what he needs to get. The first one says, if I want to go to school from September, there's the kind of way I need to sweep the house. The second one knows that, well, I need to sweep the house, right? But that's not the determining factor that will make me go to school in September or not. You see, who are you in those two brothers? The second one. And that's how God expects of us, or God expects from us. Altogether, but there's an abundance of love that has been given to you. But are you aware about it? Many times, the problem people are lacking, or the problem people have is that they're not aware. Altogether, they're not aware. So, let's go back to Ephesians 5 now. Then we'll come back again to this on Wednesday. So, be ye therefore followers of God as what? Dear children, and what? And walk in love even as also, And walk in love as what? Christ also had. Okay, so what did Paul do in Ephesians chapter 1? Show you how Christ loved you. You are chosen, is that correct? Accepted and beloved, is that correct? You've been sealed, is that correct?
You have in him, you have in him, you have redemption. Is that correct? What did I say again? We've been predestined. I was together. So that's the extent of love that God pours on us. So Paul says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And what? And walk in love as Christ also had what? Loved us and has given himself for us. He has given himself for us and what? An offering. Oh, hold on. So did Christ give himself as an offering for your sake? So what does Christ expect from you? You don't want to talk. Give yourself as an offering to another. What does that mean? It means that at times when your ego wants to stand, what do? You give yourself as an offering. Yeah? Let it be like a sweet-smelling savour. Are we together? Right? So it means that the conduct that you demonstrate can either be smelling sweet or it can be smelling dirty. All together, right? So your conduct has a smell. Are you here? Are you with me? Your conduct has a, say my conduct has a smell. Say my conduct has a smell. Oh yeah, stay within yourself and just gauge your smell. Gauge your smell. So there are things you do. You should go back into your room. Right? And actually remind yourself that your smell, that should come, the smell that comes out from you should not be that kind of smell. Watch what happens there. Ephesians chapter 5 again. It says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet smelling savour. Sweet smelling savour. All together. So the question now is, what kind of love are you demonstrating? The sweet-smelling savour or the bitter one? Which is expected from you? It says, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as a what? An offering. Yeah, we're used to, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. Some will say, into the house. Some will say, we are the house. Anyone that floats your boat. We bring the sacrifice of praise. We are the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. As we offer unto. Who needs the offering of your sacrifice? Another man. Are you with me? God does not need your walk in love. God, I'm walking in love towards you. You know, people are that naughty. He said, regardless of what God has done for them, I'm still patient with God in your mouth. You are patient with God. And you know, it links back to some of the things we've seen in our last series. Why is it that when people go through challenges or go through any phase of life, the first person that suffers is God? How do you know God suffers? Because the local church suffers. So the sacrifice and the offering that God expects. So does God expect you give yourself as an offering? Does God expect that you give yourself as an offering to him? Does God expect that you give yourself as a sacrifice to him?
Yes.
How does God expect that you give your sacrifice as an offering to him? Are we together? So God expects that we should burn incense every day. Okay? The question you should ask is, which kind of incense? Does God expect that you burn incense every day? Yes. Does God expect that the smell should emanate from you by burning incense? Is that correct? What kind of incense does God want you to burn? The incense of love work. Let me tell you, love work is only love work when there's a reason not to walk in love. Are you with me? You cannot be doing jolly with your friends. You've never fought. You say, I walk in love. You are not walking in any love. There must be a reason to fight. There must be a reason not to walk in love.
If there is no reason not to walk in love, it's no love walk. Because even the unbelievers know that if you give me teeth, I give you tat. Yeah, we'll look at that in Matthew chapter 5. Right? Unbelievers know that if you give me teeth, I will give you tat. Unbelievers know that if you step on my toes, what is the natural response? I step back. If nobody has stepped on your toes and you say you are walking in love, that's not walking in love. It is until when someone steps on your toes. Are we together? Right? You know, we'll explain that parable when the Bible says if you're slapped on your left cheek, what do? Don't turn your physical right, though. Because there's a kind of slap that they give you from the left, you cannot recover. Except maybe we meet in heaven. Except maybe they want to, maybe they bend your neck, your bone, they want to readjust it, they have to slap it back. But that's not what that scripture is saying. Right? So it means that for every time you forego an opportunity to insist on your right, you're walking in love. Are you with me? For every time you forego an opportunity to insist on the right, that's walking in love. For every time you forego a very clear cut, very clear opportunity, you are what? You are walking in love. Yeah? I'll say one more time. For every time you forego an opportunity to insist on your ego, come together. There are many times that all you need to say is what? Sorry. Let me also tell you, there are many times that in the real sense, you are not the originator of the problem, but you have a problem in the problem, or you contributed a problem to the problem. What do? You can walk in love. Over the next few weeks, we'll look through a series of scriptures, right? Because many times, one of the things I found is that people struggle to know where to draw the line. Walking in love does not mean that everybody you are speaking to today, you will keep speaking to them for the rest of your life. No. Yeah, Romans 15 shows us there are people that Paul will instruct. Nobody taught walk in love like Paul. Yet Paul will say, mark and what? Avoid. Paul will say, there are certain Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul will say, there's Alexander the coppersmith. There are certain specific people, right, that in keeping a distance, you are walking in love to them. Let me give you a quick example. I always say something. When somebody brings gifts to your table about somebody else, yeah, what's the best way to walk in love? Not hear it. Yeah? You know, some of us are very, There's a word I'm looking for. Yeah? We're very, there's what I'm looking for, right? We feel, not everything must enter your ear. In shielding things from entering your ear, you're walking in love towards the person. There is a different thing if you have a position of authority, where you have that influence, where people should bring things to your ear. For instance, as a pastor, if two people are fighting in this church, who is the first person that should speak to you? Okay, let me use that next thing you don't want. Yeah. Bruh, let me talk about. She's like, Uche, if both of you are fighting, who should you speak to? Yeah. The moment you go and call Brother Jude, I say, Brother Jude, I want to tell you about the sister Uche. What should Brother Jude do? He should what? He should direct you. What is he doing? You know what will happen? He will begin to see. The reason why Brother Jude doesn't want to direct him to pastor is because he wants to feel like a therapeutic counselor. He wants to be empathetic. Now, that does not mean you shut them up and say, go, leave my house. No, I'm not saying that, though. But when he starts saying, you see that sister Uche, she began to, you see, my brother, you see, just tell pastor or tell your cell leader. But if Brother Jude is a cell leader, what should he do? He should listen, though. But let me tell you what Brother Jude will not do. He will not say, woman, that's how they are. I've been noticing her. Who is actually the one that is not too tall, not too lanky, short tempered? Yeah, they say short people are always angry. The moment he starts talking like that, what is he doing? He's trying to inject, and you two, you are feeling at home. You see, that's how all of them are. Yeah, it's God that even saved me from marrying one the other time. Yeah, before you know it, you are feeling at home. Yeah, what is love work? It is that for your sake, you are hot. Is there any crime in being hot? No. You are human. Yeah? But you must be able to know how to channel your hot to the right channel.
Even if you don't say, tell pastor, have you spoken to a sister, which I don't like how you spoke to me in church. You see, if everybody does their own part, no problem will exist. Because if Sister Uche, I don't like how you spoke to me earlier. What should Sister Uche do? The moment Sister Uche starts saying, but I didn't even raise my voice, you're a problem. Yeah, the moment Sister Uche starts saying, but I didn't even, when you offend people, you are not the one that determines the way their offense lands for them. God is clearing it away. Somebody said, you offended me. Don't begin to think, God, that is normal. Normally, yours is not normal in my house. Normally, your house, like when you eat, you leave your plate on the table. That's in your house. Normally, my house is when you finish eating. Yeah? So imagine you come to my house, you finish eating, right? And you put your plate on the table and I say, sister, please, could you take your plate to the washing machine? You say, am I not a guest here? Are you a guest here? That's why we say, please. Are we together? That's why we say, please. If you are not a guest, you will not hear, please. Yeah? So what do you say? Oh, I'm so sorry. Where's the washing machine? You go and put it there. You see, all those very, you see, all those minor things, they sound insignificant, but that's where trouble starts. Now, you that they have to take plate to dishwasher. You see, it's me that made mistake. I came to your house now. It's me that made mistake. Maybe I did not stay under my roof. You are just allowing room for offense.
Yeah.
Once you start seeing offense playing out your life, what do? You catch yourself. See, I'm a love being. Yeah? You know, we should be able to have those gauges around ourselves. I'm oozing. You know, sometimes, you know, I always say it. Sometimes people do certain things to me. When I go back to my room, I say, thank you, Lord, for the strength. Because I know that what I did is not my natural man. You should have those seasons in your life. Yeah? It's a testimony of a believer to say, thank God you didn't catch me when I was an unbeliever. Are you with me? Somebody does something to you, and this leads into what we're talking about in our marriage conversation. Your husband, your wife. Your wife does something to you, your husband does something to you. Yeah, it should be, it's God that saved you. You married me when I met this man called Joshua Yusuf. You'll be shouting there and be saying, love your neighbor as yourself. If you had met me, that's good testimony. Not the one that where you were and where you are, we don't know the difference. In fact, some people will prefer you where you were than where you are. We prefer you to go backwards. You see, this very basic thing is how to keep relationships. Yeah? When you want to listen to someone talk, you don't listen with your lens. You don't listen with what you are thinking. Yeah? Somebody says, I don't like how you spoke to me. The first thing you are hearing is that the person is saying that you are not mates. Somebody says, I don't like how you spoke to me. What you are hearing is, my younger sister, and the person did not say it. Are we here? Ephesians 5 verse 1. Be what? Therefore, followers of God. Have you been blessed today?